Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio as we head towards the 4th of July, 2020. It's Mraz, it's Andrew Bogish, DA up in Narragansett, Rhode Island, having his beers and taking topless photos of himself. First time we've seen a DA man boob, I think, ever on Instagram, so you can go check that out, at Damon Amendo. And remember, it is a Target Demo Friday, so tweet at me at MrazCBS or at Bogish, at Andrew Bogish. Let us know what you're doing this 4th of July, how you're listening, where you're listening, what you may be grilling. Let's get into it. We'll read those next hour on the show. We still have this date in mothership history coming up. We get into Cam Newton a little more and the New England Patriots stuff next hour. We will discuss Rob Manfred in just a little bit. But Bogish, breaking news from the Mraz doing the show from home front here in the 9 o'clock hour. And you are somebody who lives on Long Island like I do, so I think it is fair to discuss as far as geography goes. But this is really something that goes on countrywide. I obviously am an owner of a dog who sometimes likes to urinate on routers and all of that, and I take him for a walk every day. Every day I'm a good dog owner, and I make sure, you know, he might sniff around the curb on somebody's side of the house, but I will never, ever, ever let my dog squat or go number two on somebody else's front lawn. To me, I find that to be, frankly, just rude, because that is somebody's presenting property they're putting out there, and... Now, granted, the neighborhood I'm in, there's sidewalks on some parts. There's not really sidewalks on most of it. But here I am, last break. I go upstairs. I'm in a mad scramble because I have to find a dry cleaner that's open today because I'm having my daughter baptized next weekend, and I cannot find any of my dress clothes. So I don't know if they're still at my parents' house or where they are. But that's neither here nor there. As I go upstairs, I peek out the window, and there is a lady walking her dog. And she allows the dog, Bogish, I kid you not, it has to be at least 5 feet deep from the curb to my front lawn, taking an enormous number two on my front lawn. And I had to race back down here, so I didn't have time to get into any kind of, you know, yell. And it appeared as if she was ready to pick it up with a bag. So I appreciate that. You should always clean up after your dog. But even if you clean it up, I'm still offended that you're allowing your dog to walk on my front lawn 5 feet deep, not even like right along the curb. We gotta understand there's no sidewalks. How are people so blind to allow this? Am I nuts? Am I too over the top? I mean, basically, is everybody's front lawn just a grazing ground to treat your animals like we're at the freaking safari at Six Flags, Bogish? Later, I'm sure when you scoop it up with a bag, you haven't gotten every remnant. What if I step on whatever remnants are left as I go to water the lawn later or something like that? I mean, what are we doing? Is this anarchy?
Yeah, it's not anarchy yet, but that was my follow-up question. Like, I have a little patch of grass, then sidewalk, then my actual lawn. So do you have that too, or is it just curb, sidewalk, grass?
No, I go curb right into my grass. There's no sidewalk.
Right. So she's on your lawn and she's deep in your lawn. And my point would be too that she can't possibly clean your grass perfectly here. Like,
no
way. There is dog,
no shovel.
You know what?
Right.
On your grass right now.
Duty.
In danger of you stepping on it. Absolutely can't happen.
Yes. So, and this is what's crazy. So I bought a corner property
And this is the only reason this is outraging me is yesterday I go to cut the lawn. I'm a big Thursday lawn cutter because I like to present it well for the weekend. I don't know where you lie with cutting the lawn. So I'm big on a Thursday evening, let's say I do it, and then I have the, you know, the lawn nice for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. As nice as could be with where I'm extremely weeded here. But there was not one, but two, you know, dog you know what's laying on the side of the lawn. And it's almost like because I have a corner property, so I have a curb, lawn, then my fence to my backyard. People think that's like the Wild West when they walk their dogs, and then they don't have to clean up after because I'm not looking directly at my window. There's no way of knowing that. So I had to get the shovel. I ended up cleaning up two you-know-whats for different dogs. So that already annoyed me enough. I find that to be rude. At least this lady was picking up. But the front lawn, like somebody's front lawn, like that's their presenting. You drive past somebody's house. It's like, okay, there's their house. There's their lawn. You're going to allow your dog to walk that deep onto a lawn? And it just, I don't know. I feel like people have abandoned all dog walking etiquette. I'm a dog person. So I would love everybody's thoughts at Mraz CBS and at Andrew Bogish. How deep onto somebody's lawn is too deep to allow your dog to do duty, as Pete would play that drop. Bogish, I'm infuriated.
You should be. I mean, I don't even let my kids, like, we're out for a walk, whatever. Like, I don't let them walk on someone's lawn.
Oh, don't get me started with that.
That's disrespectful. Like, that's their, like you said, like that's their showpiece at the beginning of their house. People either do it themselves or pay good money to have someone take care of it. And even my tiny 6-year-old traipsing across their grass to me is disrespectful. So to go a step further with the dog relieving itself on your
duty
grass. And now, again, I don't know anything about dogs. Never had one, never walked one. Do dogs care where they do that?
Well,
in terms of like surface, do they not want it on the asphalt or the curb? Do they need the grass?
It's funny you say that. There's you could tell the difference between a city dog and a suburb dog, because a city dog will absolutely drop trowel right on a sidewalk. Like, they're just used to the asphalt. Like, that's a tough dog as a city dog. But the suburb dog is a little more picky. It's got to find grass. And I understand when you're taking the dog for a walk, you're going to find a way to relieve itself. And I would even be okay with how I have the side lawn where, all right, it's the side. Maybe I'm not the best with watering that part, even allowing that. As long as you clean up after your dog, it's the idea of the front lawn. And even without sidewalks, like I think, like what you're talking about, the neighborhoods where you have grass, sidewalk, then grass, like that grass prior to the sidewalk, I think is okay. But you can't, once there's no sidewalk, you can't on somebody else's lawn allow your dog to do that. If you see them go into that formation, you got to tug that leash and force the will onto the cement if you have to and turn them into a city dog. But I just, it's a joke. You can't be doing that. You absolutely cannot be having somebody's dog walk across that. And you know what? Maybe I'm having big problems in the neighborhood because you just brought up the kids. We have a bus stop that's basically because I'm on the corner right there, and there's kids that live a couple houses down that should know better. I would say they're like between the ages of 12 and 14. They go off that bus, and I've seen them not only walk on the front lawn, walk across my driveway and like my front, if you will, pavers that lead to my stoop, and then cut across the lawn. Like, they don't even attempt to get to the street. And it was finally one time I looked up at the kid, like we were eye to eye 2 feet away out my bay window, and I was like, what are you doing? I don't know how people are raising their dogs, their kids, but stop walking on people's property. And you're going to force me to be that neighbor that gets a little fence out in the front, and I don't want to be that guy either.
My wife grew up, her house, her childhood home was a corner house too, and the driveway faced the street, and this was in Queens, and people used to make a habit, and I don't know why it was so popular to do it at this part of the block, but people constantly would use her driveway to make like K-turns, like pull in, pull back out, go in the other direction. It drove her dad so crazy, and he was badass. Like, he used to throw things from the back of their house at cars that came on his property. Because now that probably wasn't allowed either. But it's your point is that like we need to like there are boundaries. Like that's my driveway, and your car driving over it is not good for my driveway or my curb, because like it was just a mess, and like it's extra traction, it's friction, it's extra weight,
of course.
It's my driveway. It's not a place for you to be making your U-turns in the middle of a road. People just sometimes suck with personal boundaries, and I bet that lady, Sean, if you did the reverse, if you or your dog went on her lawn, she'd freak out. But
right.
I bet she goes on everybody's
lawn. And just real quick, because I know we got to transition. I'm sure there are people rolling their eyes going, all right, we get it. A dog went through the MRS's lawn. The other thing that bothered me is she was in full-blown, like, texting while the dog was going to the bathroom while grabbing a – so it was like
– yeah, so paying no attention.
Right. Her focus was everywhere. And then, I saw her grabbing the bag anyway. But, like, as she's texting, she's not even – it's not even comprehending her, like, oh, maybe my dog shouldn't be going this deep onto somebody's lawn. But that's it. And speaking of people acting like dog duty, it's Rob Manfred in the Major League Baseball. How about that for a transition? I just do that.
I liked it.
Rob Manfred goes on the Dan Patrick Show and makes a proclamation that people ran with the headline and didn't fully, I guess, grasp the context. But again, this becomes a problem if you're a commissioner. We shouldn't have to guess context. And says that, well, we were only going to basically play 60 games anyway. And this had people furious because obviously we had this whole public battle bogus between the MLB and the MLBPA and how many games and how and the proposals and this, that, the other thing. And when you see a headline like that and you hear Rob Manfred say that, it's going to drive you bonkers. Now, what Rob Manfred meant to say was because, of course, they proposed, was it a 75 or an 80-game season? I'm forgetting which was what. At 75% prorated pay that, of course, the players didn't take because they wanted the 100% prorated. Rob Manfred and the MLB did not propose that with the idea that they wouldn't play it if the players took it. I think if the players took it, they absolutely would have played that. So when he says this 60-game season thing, people have to understand they did make a proposal that I'm sure they thought the players wouldn't take, but they absolutely would have done it had the players took it. The real problem I have here is we give Roger Goodell a lot of crap, right? Because Roger Goodell, unless you get that State of the Union address he has at the Super Bowl or whatever at the owners' meetings, you don't hear from him. Roger Goodell's not coming on the DA show. He's really not going on the Dan Patrick show. He's not going on Jim Rome or any of our great CBS Sports Radio shows. And people kind of crush Goodell for that. But at the same time, Goodell fumbles all over himself so much that it's probably a win that less is more with Goodell. And I think now we're getting to the point where Major League Baseball with Rob Manfred, this has been a pandemic and extended offseason where I think Major League Baseball needs to take a hint going forward. Too much Rob Manfred is a bad thing. Whether it was making the guarantee that there will be baseball, only to backtrack and go, now he's not so sure. Whether it was calling the World Series trophy a piece of metal that really ticked off players. And now this interview where he's saying the 60-game season thing. And look, this is where you know the going's bad, bogus. Yesterday, Major League Baseball has to issue a statement to clarify the commissioner's words. If you have a commissioner whose main job really should be is the mouthpiece for your league and understanding that nothing he says should ever be lost in translation or have to be clarified, and how many times that was Major League Baseball had to issue some sort of statement to re-clarify whether it's the piece of metal or whether it's the 60-game season thing, Rob Manfred, frankly, is not cut out for this. Anytime you have to re-clarify what your commissioner is saying and it has to be done multiple times in a certain amount of months, or he has to flip-flop on what he's talking about guarantees, he's simply not cut out for the job. Rob Manfred needs to just shut up, bogus.
And in particular, he is not allowed to backtrack from what he said to Dan Patrick on Wednesday. This is the sentence. The reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games no matter how the negotiations with the players went. That's it. That's what he said.
Right.
Are there more than one way to look at that? I guess so. But the predominant way to look at that is that this is what they were going to get. This is what they wanted no matter what. And they them being the owners, dragged their feet to get there, which connects us to the idea that they were never bargaining in good faith, which could lead to a player's grievance, which could lead to millions and millions, if not more, dollars going to the players because the owners messed up here. And the clarification is what he meant was, had they started and reached an agreement sooner and the season had just restarted, they would have been in spring training,
right,
in Florida and Arizona when these cases went on this uptick in the last, 10 days or 2 weeks.
Right.
And I guess that would have then hit the pause button on the season. And by the time they restarted it after a couple of weeks, they would have been in the same calendar window where they could only have gotten 60 games in. There's no way that sentence from Wednesday includes the foresight of Arizona and Florida
sure.
going into this current tailspin. There's no way that is what he meant when he said what he said on Wednesday. So I give him no pass on this.
See, I think I disagree with you a little bit. I could see him meaning that. I can see him meaning that. But the problem is, even as a communicator, your assumption that everybody is going to assume you mean that no is very tone deaf to how every fan perceived the MLB versus MLBPA negotiations, where it was all basically a farce anyway. So I could get behind it because I could understand that being the case that, yeah, had you done this, we would have been in some trouble right now. But you can't even you can't assume that fans are going to think that. You just can't. So you're not giving him a pass, and I totally get that. I'll give him the slight pass in I could believe and buy what he's selling. But you want the idea that you're assuming that and just saying that just again shows me you're bad at what you do, and that is supposed to be the mouthpiece of, you know, putting out there the MLB message, and this is just there's too many strikes now. Rob Manfred's not cut out for this.
But there was no mention, not even a hint, that the negotiations went on for as long as they did because MLB was afraid of a pending coronavirus surge somewhere that was going to mess up their plans. He blamed it on the players. He blamed it on the players time and time again for not talking to us, not accepting things, not wanting to do it. Like, they blamed him for the stalemate. He could have very easily said in this climate, you know, we're a little spooked by some things we see that might be happening, so we're just going to hold on to see how they played out. That never happened. This was sure. all about negotiations. This was all about proposals and counter proposals and prorated salary and number of games. So he does not now get to say, well, we would have been messed up by the virus anyway, and further yesterday he said was it became clearer and clearer that the course of the virus was going to dictate how many games we could play. Now, that's not by itself an incorrect statement, but it's not his thinking. It was not their thinking in May and June when they were both having this silly slap fight back and forth. That was cold, hard negotiating, and it certainly seems like he let it slip on Wednesday that they had no intention of playing more than 50 or 60 games. And I don't know how that plays out in a, you know, in a labor grievance, but to me, that was a big, big time slip of the tongue, and they may end up paying for it.
Yeah. Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball, you guys would be better off apart, in my opinion. I don't know what the deal is with commissioner contracts or any of that, but man, Major League Baseball, I think, has whiffed in a big way with who they have running things from the commissioner's office. When we come back, Johnny Avello, who? Yeah, that's right. DraftKings, their head of their sports book, will join us racing and sports book. Because why? Like we mentioned yesterday, we had Badlands Booker on the show. The Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest is going off in a private location, and DraftKings has partnered with the contest. We got plenty of odds, over-under, so if you're getting that itch to gamble, well, we got some hot dogs to gamble on, some over-unders and all that, and we'll have some fun. We'll ask him flat out just how big a long shot Badlands Booker really is. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
These bots can be destroyed and crashed in seconds. A lot of them have fire and flame and the ability to flip their opponent.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Mraz and Bogish in for DA here this morning on CBS Sports Radio, DA up in Rhode Island. Bogish and I here on Long Island, getting ready for 4th of July. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by GEICO. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com to learn more. And, you know, one of the good parts about living in New York, living in Long Island, I know everybody will go nuts on that, is the closeness to Coney Island, the closeness to Nathan's. And the idea that the crown jewel of the 4th of July every year is the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, usually on the corner of Surf and Stillwell. But if you listen to the show yesterday where we had Eric Badlands Booker on once again, that this will take place in a private location, kind of like UFC doing their Fight Island. No. We are getting some kind of private location, undisclosed, and the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest is going to look a little different. But where it's really going to be different is you could finally gamble on it via DraftKings. And Johnny Avello, will join us right now from DraftKings. He is the director of race and sportsbook operations. There are odds going on here. We got to break it all down. Now, Bogus is excited for this. He really wants to gamble on the hot dog eating contest. Johnny, hello. Welcome to the DA Show. How are you?
Hey, Sean, Andrew. I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Well, let's just start with this. You have been making your own odds on the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest for years before this has now become a thing where you can actually gamble on it. How did you fall in love with the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, and what have you noticed the most, or what have you found the most fun with kind of setting odds on your own and now finally getting to have this really take off and be something people really get into on Saturday?
Yeah, you know, I started making odds on the hot dog eating contest as well as a lot of other reality shows, you know, like Survivor and Dancing with the Stars, those things back in the late 90s, early 2000s. At that time in the early 2000s, Kobayashi, I think you might remember him.
Of course.
He was the eating champ at that time. I think he won it 6 years in a row. And he was eating in the 50s in 12 minutes. But then Joey Chestnut took that title away, and he's won 12 of the last 13, and, you know, 4 of the last 5, he was beaten by Matt Stoney, who's not in the competition this year. But I always enjoyed making odds on the reality things. It was for entertainment purposes only, but you mentioned how this is the first time we're actually going to be able to take wagers on. I'm excited about that.
And as Sean mentioned, I'm normally not your target audience. I don't remember the last time I actually made an official bet on something, but I'm all in on picking the field and the under on Joey's hot dogs tomorrow. So I can't wait actually to maybe burn some money with you guys this weekend.
So you're taking the field. So you think that, you know, Joey, who's eating in the 70s over the last 4 years, will be overtaken by one of the other 5 contenders? None of them have ever eaten 60. So you're looking for an upset here, aren't you?
Well, I mean, again, I don't know the first thing about this, but I see the fact that Chestnut right now on your site is -1,000 to win, and that I don't see where the money is in that. I'd rather run the risk, as unlikely as it might be, to pay off on an upset.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, laying 1-10 is hard pill to swallow. Usually in a competition, there's a lot more participants. There's usually around 20. This year, we only have the total of 6. Now, on the women's side, we only have a total of 5. And you have Mickey Sudo, who's also, you know, a pretty huge favorite at 1-8. So, you know, we have the strong winners that over the last few years, and now somebody's going to try to knock them off their seat. And in this enclosed environment, as you mentioned, with no fans, no humidity, air conditioning, no weather issues whatsoever. I know Mickey Sudo said she's going to try to break not only her personal best, but the overall record of 45. And I know Joey Chestnut is also going to try to beat his record of 74. Now, we have him up at 72.5 or 74.5. You can bet either one of those two numbers. One, you have to lay a little bit of juice, and the other one, you get plus money.
All right, Johnny, you just hooked me. You got me. You hooked me hook, line, and sinker. Because we love on this show, kind of, we have done hot dog eating on this show as well. I've eaten. Eric Badlands Booker appears on our show often. We've done different kind of food eating challenges and kind of like getting the bit of you take it serious even though it's not serious is what we do best on the DA show. But you just now mentioning the climate controlled, basically like you're treating Joey Chestnut as if he's Drew Brees getting a home playoff game in the Superdome in New Orleans and not having to worry about weather and all of that. And I honestly need to know now, is that tongue-in-cheek, or do you absolutely think the climate control, no heat, no humidity, could really set the tone for maybe numbers we haven't seen for Joey Chestnut before and actually, you know, a much faster pace or something like that that could go with this hot dog eating being in a climate-controlled element this year?
Well, we've all watched these guys eat before, and they're in line, and they got the hot sun, you know, flashing in their face. They're sweating. And they have people next to him. So this they're going to have a little bit of social distancing. They're going to have that air conditioning. They're going to have – now, the fans could change things here. It's nice to have a little momentum on your side with the fans cheering you on, so they won't have that. But I just think the air conditioning should help Joey Chestnut if he wants to break the record. Now, remember, he may not be pushed here. You know, he may have this thing sewed up with a minute or so to go, and he may not have to push himself to eat, but he may want to break the record. So I guess it's all up to Joey on how far he wants to go with this.
And I guess, Johnny, extending outside the hot dog eating contest, I mean, this unknown of neutral sites and no fans, I can't even imagine how you guys are trying to factor that into setting lines and odds for what we're about to get in terms of basketball, baseball, and football. But have you guys been able to glean any kind of trends from, say, European soccer that's back now in empty stadiums, what those results might mean somehow translating here into the States?
I haven't noticed a lot in soccer to change our opinion. What we're going to do is we're going to go with our power ratings. We're going to put up the teams as they're just playing on a neutral. Is there going to be some home court advantage maybe for the NBA? Possibly. Maybe for the Florida teams, possibly. But I don't see much. And so for us, it's going to be, you know, power ratings, team against team, and then adjustments taking place really quickly, right after we see a game or two, to know if it really does mean anything, what this environment means, the bubble in Florida, and places where everyone is going to play without so-called home field advantage, or home ice advantage, home field advantage, all three, because the three major sports are all starting up soon.
Yeah, I'm going to get back to the hot dog eating contest in just a second, but just a follow-up to what Bogus was saying. I have really wondered, I'm more the gambler between Bogus and myself, and maybe I'm naive, maybe I'm crazy, but, I mean, is there a ounce of fear from anybody, at these sports books right now that maybe for the first time, we'll call it quote-unquote Vegas, is going to be ripe for the picking early on as sports books try to figure out and adjust to this new world of no fans and neutral sites when it comes to the NBA, NHL postseason, and even to an extent Major League Baseball, that, maybe you could get something here where, the lines haven't really figured themselves out. And, this is going to be a really different way of betting and knowing how different a mentality this could be for people looking into bets for some of these series or some of these games.
Well, there's always sharp bettors out there, and sharp bettors are always looking for an angle or some type of advantage. And, they'll do their homework and try to find that advantage. And, we'll certainly be watching when they do find it to make our adjustments. So they haven't found it yet. We have the lines up on the hockey. We have the lines up on the NBA. So they're up. Not a lot of movement so far, but I'm sure there's going to be quite a bit of it as we get closer to the games, which are going to take place in about 3 weeks.
Johnny, aside from just a winner and over-under on dogs eating, anything else? Any kind of prop bets, anything like that you could wager on Saturday?
Well, I mentioned how we had the 72.5 and the 74.5 for Joey. And on the other side, the women's side. Now, remember, the women competition didn't come into fruition until 2011. The women used to go against the men. And so Mickey Sudo has been the champ over the last 5 years, and before that it was Sonia Thomas. So Mickey Sudo, we also have the over-under dogs on her at 40.5. Now, I can tell you they're betting that one over pretty heavily, as well as they're betting Joey's 72.5 over pretty heavily. Mickey Sudo is 41 is her tops. Last year she only ate in the low 30s, but she says she's going out to break the record of her personal best of 41 and Sonia Thomas's personal best of 45. So that's what we have up. We have the two top contenders against the field and the over-under on how many dogs they will eat. Now, the one other thing we have for people that cannot play in these legal jurisdictions where this is up, that's New Jersey, Colorado, and New Hampshire, we have free-to-play pools, and we are putting up $25,000 for people to play from anywhere. You can play from anywhere throughout the country, and there's about 8 or 9 props on there that you have to pick. And we're going to disperse that money to the winners. So, play and go to the DraftKings site and play on the free pools if you're not in one of those three jurisdictions I mentioned to be able to bet, you know, live betting.
All right, last one for me, Johnny. That's a great tip. The free-to-play is awesome on the DraftKings app. We, as I mentioned on the show, and we could be fully true serum here because he gets it and we joke around with him. Eric Badlands Booker is a big, big friend of the show. And yesterday we had him on, and I frankly flat out asked him. I've had it with Badlands Booker coming up lame in these contests, treating it like it's basically a meal, a walk in the park. I mean, this is a guy who admitted on our show that he forgot whether he had an Admiral's Feast at Red Lobster throughout the whole week. Now, that being said, I told flat out, he came up so lame with the eating the bologna and the quarantine challenge. He's a guy who, obviously, he loves his music and wearing the headphones, and he's a showman, and he gets that. But, truth be told, he just can never compete with the heavy hitters here. He will be in this contest. What do you think, and because he said he wasn't really going to change anything in strategy, is Badlands Booker's biggest problem holding him back from trying to truly compete with some of these top competitors and instead always being an extreme underdog in these spots?
Oh, well, he's been doing this more years than anyone else. I think he's been in the competition, I think he has 20 appearances. Maybe this is going to be his 21st. Now, he did eat 40 hot dogs, but that was many years ago. I just think he doesn't have the capacity for more than 30-something dogs. I don't know. Maybe after this many years, your stomach kind of tells you, hey, you know what? Give me a break. I don't know. I've never been in an eating competition, so I don't know what it actually takes to eat 70 dogs. But Eric Booker's a character, and it's great to have him in the competition.
Boy, he is a character, but yes, if his stomach hasn't told him by now, maybe it's time to give him a break. I don't know. I don't know when it will. He did vow that this, he told us yesterday, quote, this ain't going to be no baloney challenge. He seemed a little more motivated, but we shall see. We're very much looking forward to that. Johnny, listen, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Remember, you guys can check out the DraftKings app. He listed some of those markets where obviously you can make the plays. Johnny has been doing this for years. Finally, you're able to legally bet on the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest as Major League Eating has partnered here with Nathan's and DraftKings. Johnny, it has been a pleasure. Sit back, enjoy the contest, enjoy the 4th of July, and we'd love to have you on again sometime.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a happy 4th of July to you and the listeners.
Take care. Bogus. Bogus.
Poor Badlands.
He gives us a sometimes. Sometimes your stomach just says, give me a break. Pete, we got to pull that for DA at some point as well.
That's the Badlands.
That is the director of race and sportsbook operations who has been watching the hot dog eating contest and setting lines for years telling you Badlands' stomach is telling him it needs a break. And that's the reason he can't compete. I can't anymore. You got an update to do, Bogus. So what do you got?
Yeah, it's sponsored by Ace Hardware. Ace is the only national retailer that carries Benjamin Moore paint, which means premium quality paint, and Ace's award-winning service are now just around the block. If you want a new look, look no further than Ace. People and companies now lining up to force Dan Snyder to rename his football team. FedEx, who pays for the naming rights of Snyder Stadium and whose CEO holds a minor stake in the team, has formally requested a name change. And Nike has removed all merchandise and mentions of Washington from its website. That's on top of local politicians saying they will not let Snyder's plans for a new stadium at the RFK site go forward without a new name. NFL players could be fined for reckless off-field behavior that put them in danger of getting coronavirus. That came up during a two-hour conference call yesterday for the union to update the players on negotiations with the league. And training camp rosters might be 75 or 80 players instead of the usual 90 this summer. Fewer players means less risk, and it would be easier to do things like socially distance around team headquarters. At least the Disney bubble is meant to crown a champion. A proposed Chicago bubble would only keep the 8 teams left out of the NBA's restart in shape for next season. Union head Michelle Roberts, apparently the driving force behind copycatting Florida. The teams would reportedly prefer training at their own facilities and maybe play any nearby teams. Meanwhile, the NBA announced 9 more positive COVID tests yesterday. Those are from the 344 tests done last week. Just 10 positives, though, from almost 900 tests on staff members. The Clippers reportedly have one of these within their Disney travel party, so their practice facility is closed temporarily. Seven-footer McCore Maker will be in the NBA one day if he plays college basketball. It'll be at Howard, Maker announcing his commitment overnight, choosing the HBCU over UCLA, Memphis, and others. Again, though, he has declared for the NBA draft, so he may stay in that. Plus, his cousin is Thon Maker. You may remember that name. He, too, was committed to college basketball, said he was going, but then went to the NBA draft. So who knows if he actually will get there. But again, if McCore Maker plays college basketball, in a shocker, it'll be at Howard. Oklahoma State ran its own investigation of football coach Mike Gundy after the situation between him and current and former players because Gundy wore a One American News Network t-shirt. The school says it found no signs or indication of actual racism from Gundy, but he should do a better job building strong relationships with his players. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster said yesterday he will not make any special exemptions for college football in the state in the fall. Currently, his executive order bans spectator sports, concerts, and movies within South Carolina. Some Bundesliga news this morning for Sean. Bayern completing its acquisition of Man City winger Leroy Mané with a five-year deal reportedly worth €22 million annually. That's on top of the €49 million Bayern sent to Man City to get Mané. And finally, it is round two of the Rocket Mortgage Classic in the Detroit area. Kevin Kistner is 1-under through four holes this morning in the lead by himself at 8-under. He was one of three who slept in the lead at -7. Doc Redman and Scott Stallings play this afternoon. Sean, back to you.
All right, Bogues. It's unbelievable how much over 2 days Badlands Booker has been such a talking point on the show. And I just completely forgot about this as we tee up the state mothership history. This state mothership history comes up next, and it involves me facing backlash for losing to Badlands Booker back in 2014. So we're going back 6 years for this state mothership history next. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
The date was July 3rd. The year was 2014. We were one night removed from me on an overnight being absolutely destroyed by Eric Badlands Booker, who came in, by the way, 2 days before he was due to eat at Nathan's and put on an absolute epic display of competitive eating. And the fans and listeners weren't happy with my performance. I took some real problems with that. Here it is from 2014.
I've been one of Mraz's biggest supporters and biggest backers. And yesterday, I just thought in representing this show, he did everybody a real disservice. And I think it's questionable whether or not he is right anymore for leading an entire nation. You know, I think we are seeing the facade come down as a dictator that is unfit right now to lead an entire nation of chubbos. Honestly, guys, raise your hand if you're listening right now and could have performed better than the 10 hot dogs that he choked down in 10 minutes. It's a hot dog a minute. I'm rooting for him in life. I'm rooting for him here on the show. I'm rooting for him in everything. But yesterday, I feel like my fandom of Mraz was rubbed in the dirt. By hot dog number 9, he's bent over wheezing. You know, it's like one of these athletes that thinks that they can get by without actually doing the training, without actually putting in the work. And frankly, you're not just going to get by on appetite alone.
Everybody is all talk, no bite. I stepped in there versus a professional eater, like somebody stepping in the box and facing Mariano Rivera, and I shoved 10 hot dogs down my throat. By the way, bigger dogs than last year because I made both trips and bought them, so therefore I overperformed. And then to sit here and take stuff from you two, number one, Kenny, who a year and a half ago had a phobia about eating in front of people, and now is bashing me because I couldn't eat more than 10 hot dogs, and then you, DA, strolling in here during breaks with your cucumber salad. You know, why don't both of you two take a freaking walk, okay?
I don't know if this has to do with Brock because he sits right next to you and just needles you all of the time anyway. I don't know if it's because I've gotten into the mix, and I'm not trying to needle you. I am just emoting about what had happened yesterday. I don't know if it's because your family, you had to go dark with your family because you didn't want them to needle you. I don't know what has put you over the edge here, Maybe it's the fans and the listeners that are coming after you, but you are really seething at this point.
I am seething. You know why I'm seething? Because here I am, I put down 10 hot dogs, and basically every 3 hours on the dot while I'm trying to sleep, the Pooh Bear came a-calling, and I had to go running for the hills. Okay, I had a long, stressful day, put it that way. And then I roll in here, and as soon as you walk in, you go, you know, Mraz, I got to be honest, after watching that video, listening to the audio, you really disgraced yourself. As I'm sitting here basically, you know, rotten from the insides out after the performance I put on, and now I'm getting killed for it. And Kenny, by all, oh my God. Can that guy do anything entertaining for us here? For him to call me out. I mean, enough. His movies stink. Everything he does stinks. And then he puts me out there?
It's an Ask the Pros Day. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And Bogus, I'm going to defend myself here. Badlands Booker, now, in hindsight, years later, it looks probably bad that I was that much destroyed by Badlands Booker, who can't really compete at the top level anymore. But I did have to get hot dogs. That night, a little scene setter, where I wanted to get the hot dogs from or bring in the steamer had broken, so we had to go order dogs from, like, a street cart that were almost foot-long hot dogs, and they had been sitting basically all day. They did not go down as easy as hot dogs I'd eaten the year before, so that's why I'd only gotten 10 down. It didn't really affect Badlands Booker. Oh, that's what it was. I'm sorry. Nathan's only brought in 30 hot dogs, so we put those in front of Badlands. So I had to, since he can only eat Nathan's hot dogs, I had to go get the street cart versions. And you know, look, putting down 10 of those in 10 minutes, those street dog ones, like made on a skillet with the same thing as the gyros, not the dirty water dogs. Mm-hmm. That was a tough look for me. And the idea that I was getting crushed by DEA and Brock, I mean, they didn't have to deal with it. It wasn't their body. I find it to be atrocious. And once again, just a long game here on the DEA show. Mraz takes all the hits.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes they're deserved more so than others. It is tough to take shots from guys who didn't compete at all. So I get your gripe there. And I also, too, like, I think I'm still feeling those just awful tacos we bought one day try in the Taco Bell.
Yeah.
The Bisque. I mean, those things are still hurting me. And is that a year ago?
No, that was right before Thanksgiving.
Okay, so it feels like a year, but it was only nine-ish months.
Well, this year feels like a decade, so I don't blame you for thinking that was a year ago.
I had a headache for a week.
So I also,
yeah. And you guys blame my Bisque. It was those tacos, no doubt.
It was 100% those tacos, no doubt. It was those tacos.
Yes. So yeah. Okay. So there you go. So you're still feeling the effects of that, and it's no. You see that those are the early signs of me eventually losing a chicken challenge to Shauna in the Bronx. I understand that I'm the big eater on the show and I had won some big contests and stuff, but look, I'm not perfect. And out there when you get thrown versus a Badlands Booker and it's spit and everything's flying all over the place, it was brutal to watch and it really queased me out. Those hot dogs were too big, and to take the hits the next day again, just, you know, I couldn't do it from Deanne, especially Brock. Brock taking shots where, and I'm being serious about this, Kenny Brock used to be where Pete is on the Wheels of Steel, was afraid to eat in front of people. He would not eat in front of me because that was a phobia he had, was eating in front of people. And there I am, eating in front of a competitive eater against him. I mean, come on. Come on. Can we be serious?
You know, there's a lot of contradictions and disconnects with Kenny, who I love. But Kenny loves to tell me how much of a nerd square I am. But here's a guy who couldn't eat in front of people and does far more nerdy things than I do.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I'm not playing. I mean, he's playing golf in like knickers and like and like, you know, Kangol hats. He's got a handlebar mustache now. All these things that no one else can do, Kenny loves to do as if they're only cool for Kenny.
I completely agree, and this was a guy when he worked the Wheels of Steel. You know what it was? Because he was supposed to be Mr. Tough Athlete, I think secretly loves the nerd world. So he's one of these guys, when he sees somebody else being a nerd, he has to like quickly, oh, you're a nerd. And now all of a sudden everything he does is cool. Like, yeah, like looking like a character from Gangs of New York is now suddenly cool for him in 2020 with the handlebar mustache. I mean, the ultimate, again, take a lap. And by the way, little Easter egg in there, I was telling people to take a walk, not take a lap in 2014. How about that? Do you prefer to take a walk or take a lap?
You know what? I think take a walk is actually a little more dismissive for some reason.
Really? Interesting.
Take a lap comes from high school and like gym class, but like take a walk is like, get away from me. Like, that's enough. Like, get out of here. Take a walk, cool off. Let's get, you know, let's let's fix this. I might like that better.
We still have Target Demo to get to, your epic fail, but when we come back, Cam Newton on why he went to the Patriots. Do we buy it? It's the DA Show with Bogus and Mraz next on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.